This morning, we will study together Psalm 34, from verse 1 all the way to verse 22. Let us read together from verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and save him out of all his troubles. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no one to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Verse 12. What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Verse 21. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Verse 22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, this morning we shall discuss the Word of God through the experiences and writings of the Psalm of David. Now, the Psalm of David, obviously, is written by King David himself, who has gone through much tribulations and afflictions and difficulties, as King David was chased and about to be killed by his own father-in-law, King Saul. Out of jealousy, King Saul would like to exterminate or execute or kill David in order to prevent him to become king. However, the Lord God had anointed King David to replace King Saul, simply because King Saul had walked in absolute disobedience and refused to obey the Lord God, and ultimately the Lord God had left King Saul, as King Saul had stubbornly walked in his own ways instead of fearing the Lord God and revering our Lord God. As a result, Prophet Samuel was instructed to anoint King David, and the very moment King David was anointed, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David and, of course, left King Saul, and the power of darkness took place in the body where the Spirit of the Lord had left King Saul. Let us read together from verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Now, my dearly beloved, as God's children, we are to practice from our heart. Just like King David wrote in Psalm 119, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. I personally would encourage every one of God's children to continuously praise and give thanks to our Lord God at least 7 times a day, as King David had written here. Of course, we could do more than 7 times a day. I am not being dogmatic about how many times a day, but I am just saying that if King David offered 7 times a day of praises unto our Heavenly Father, why not us? We could do more than 7 times, and of course, uncountable times, isn't it? Simply because we love our Heavenly Father, and we want to uplift and please him. And of course, we will put shame the enemy of the Lord and praise our Heavenly Father, isn't it? For that reason, in verse 1, it writes right here, I will bless the Lord at all times. You see, King David blessed the Lord God at all times, and let us follow his footstep. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Let us learn to be humble like King David, and let our soul also boast of our Lord God, and not of our flesh, and not boast of the worldly things, but boast of the things of the Lord, what the Lord had done for us. Let us testify in his name, and let us continuously practice from our hearts. Apart from praises is thanksgiving. The Apostle Paul tells us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Now, my dearly beloved, praising God and thanking God is extremely healthy spiritually. As a matter of fact, praising God and faith, they go hand in hand as a pair of shoes, I call it, along the path of the cross. Faith is required to counteract the enemies, the power of darkness, whenever we are in the warfare, every moment and every time. And of course, as we dished out our faith in the Lord God, we must also dish out a heart of thanksgiving, simply because every time the power of darkness uses his tool of discouragement, we must stick up faith with the heart of thanksgiving, remembering all the testimonies, how our Lord God had helped us and delivered us from all afflictions and trouble, as a powerful tool to counteract against the power of darkness. Now, keep in mind, the book of Revelation tells us that there are 3 things and 3 factors that we must counteract and use them as our tool against the power of darkness. Number 1 factor is we must resort to the blood of the Lamb. In other words, you've got to be born again of the Spirit of God, and washed by his precious blood, and repent of your sins. And of course, if you falter in sins, you must come back quickly and repent and confess of that particular sin and wash them by the precious blood of Jesus in order to be able to victoriously counteract and defend yourself against the power of darkness. Now, the 2nd factor is testimonies of the Lord God in our lives. Every time the Lord God heard our prayer, it becomes a testimony. And so testimonies are essential in God's children, as the knife of the Lord God from John 15 cuts across. His pruning knife cuts across into our life. We must resort to remembering the the word of God and abide in him. And just as our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So keep in mind, as the pruning knives cuts across God's children, and knives refer to the power of darkness attacking us simply because it is not due to our mistake and our sin, then that is called the pruning knives. If it is due to your sin, then it is not called the pruning knives. Mark this, my dearly beloved. And under the pruning knives, we've got to stick out faith and stick out a heart of thanksgiving and abide in Christ quickly by remembering his commandment. Just like he said, as I read earlier, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Then we shall resort to prayer, and we shall begin to petition to our Heavenly Father how to counteract the power of darkness. And of course, we can also petition for a solution and wisdom how to handle the scenario and so on. And as a result, when the Lord God hears our prayer, it becomes a very powerful testimony, and we grow in the Spirit. And of course, at the same time, the Holy Spirit that is within us will begin to bloom slowly and surely, the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now, keep in mind that the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. So if you allow the Holy Spirit to bloom in your heart, and you uplift the Holy Spirit by walking in the Spirit, my dearly beloved, our Lord God tells us that we would be able to glorify our Heavenly Father, just like our Lord says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. And so keep in mind, fruitfulness are essential. Now that is a second factor to counteract the power of darkness. And the third factor to counteract the power of darkness, written in Revelation 12, would be, they love not their lives unto death. Now, my dearly beloved, it is very, very important. If you have the fear of death, you must petition for the Holy Spirit to counteract that and overcome the fear of death, simply because the Lord God tells us not to fear the physical death, but rather to fear the eternal death. That is truly fearful when you will be thrown into the lake of fire. As far as physical death is concerned, you don't have to fear, because our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, fear not those that kill the body, but rather kill the soul, and thereafter you will be thrown in the lake of fire. In other words, the physical death is not something that we ought to worry about, but we should be very anxious and very concerned about a spiritual death. That is of greater importance, because it is for eternity into the lake of fire. Would you like to be thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever, while a physical body is just a nick of time, and you'll be absent from the body, will be present before the Lord God? And so King David writes right here, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble hear thereof and be glad. It is very important for God's children to be humble at all times. For the word of the Lord God tells us, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Now keep in mind, the sin of pride originates from Satan, the father of all fallen mankind, and of course the father of pride. He was the one, Lucifer was the one that fathered pride, and out of pride, wanting to be equal with God, he fell into the law of sin. And as a result, he was thrown out by Michael the archangel out of the door from heaven into the earth, written in Revelation 12. Verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. It is very important for us to constantly magnify the Lord, constantly uplift the name of the Lord. As we uplift his name, our focus will constantly be on his face instead on our environment. Now, Joshua chapter 1 tells us not to turn to the left, not to the right, but to focus onto the word of the Lord God. And our Lord God had instructed us when we focus on Him, as written in Joshua chapter 1, we would have to put on our attitude of courage. And the Lord God reminds us in Joshua chapter 1 to constantly be of good courage and be strong, simply because we tend to falter and be very fearful in our flesh, as our flesh manifests the law of sin and the power of darkness subjugate our flesh in the form of fear. For that reason, faith is of the spirit, while fear is of the flesh. Now verse 4 writes, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You see, King David had many, many difficulties and fears. Likewise, it is our nature to be fearful, and it is not our nature to be courageous. It is not in our nature to have faith. The Word of God tells us faith is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, just like I mentioned earlier, that the fruit of the Spirit includes faith, you see. And 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 write, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And obviously, my dearly beloved, power refers to faith. When we have faith, we have the power. When we don't have faith, all we have is just nervousness, anxiousness, and all kind of fears coming up, isn't it? All of those things are the fruits of the flesh and the characteristics of Satan. You see, Satan is the father of fear. And as a result, when we falter in sin, all mankind inherit that characters automatically. So it is not in our nature to be positive. It is in our nature to be negative. For that reason, the Word of God tells us the opposite. The Word of God is of faith. The Word of God is of positivity. You see, as God's children, it is very important for each and every one of us to spend our quiet time reading the scripture, simply because the Word of God is power. The Word of God is positivity, and the Word of God is encouragement. And it is through the Word of God that we are also sanctified and we receive power. You see, power comes from strong faith. If you don't have any faith, what do you have left? Nothing. You don't have any defense system against the power of darkness. And as a result, you will experience, just like King David experiences, fears. However, King David trusted in the Lord God, so every time the power of darkness using his enemy attacked him with many fears, he resorted and sought the Lord, as written in verse 4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me. You see, it is very important for us to seek the Lord God whenever the power of darkness hits us with fear. Are you fearful? Do you fear frequently? Do you worry? Do you feel anxious? Or are you nervous and edgy? All of those things are the forms of fears. But the Word of God is full of faith. For that reason, it is very important for us to memorize the scripture, have quiet time before the Lord God, and check out for sins, simply because when you have sins in your heart, then the power of darkness come through and bore in your heart a hole and stay within your heart of darkness. For that reason, it is very important that our heart must be cleansed and be made holy by the precious blood of Jesus through confessions and repentance of our sins, so that fear, which is from Satan, would leave our heart. Verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no one to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You see, my dearly beloved, King David had many, many afflictions and tribulations in his life simply because King Saul, every single day, was seeking his life. And he was very miserable. Can you imagine being in the shoes of King David? If the king is seeking after your life every day and going out there every day looking for you to kill you, how do you feel? That amount of stress that King David had gone through is unbelievable, isn't it? Imagine if the president of this country is seeking out yourself to try to kill you, how do you feel? You see, that's exactly what King David had gone through. Nonetheless, the power does not lie in the king at all, but rather in the hand of the Lord God. And so King David experienced that the power of death does not lie in man, does not lie in King Saul, but rather in the Lord God. You see, and it takes the Lord God to permit King Saul to harass him, to permit Satan as a knife, as a pruning knife, to attack David. And David had to go through all of these tribulations in order to experience the wonderful hand and deliverance of our Heavenly Father, so that King David will begin to grow in the Spirit and begin to recognize our Heavenly Father. King David says, they looked unto him, in verse 5, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. You see, they that wait upon the Lord shall not be ashamed, the word of God tells it. And of course, we would never be confounded or be made to shame whenever we trust in him. For that reason, verse 22 writes here, none of them that trust in him, in the Lord God, shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. You see, King David had to go through all of these tribulations before he was able to write them. And he grew in the Spirit and began to recognize and know our Heavenly Father. That's why the book of Psalms was written. You see, if King David had not gone through so much difficulties, he would not be able to experience the wonderful, magnificent hand and the hand of mercy and the heart of generosity and God's protection upon his children, isn't it? It takes all of that difficulties, all of the afflictions that come to David to know that our Heavenly Father is absolutely merciful to his children and constantly out there to protect each and every one of those that trust in the Lord as his children. For that reason, verse 6, King David writes, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and save him out of all his troubles. My dearly beloved, the Lord God heard our prayers. And in my life, I experienced the same thing. I had gone through much difficulties, just like King David writes in here, much afflictions. And as King David experiences that the Lord had heard him, the Lord also had heard my prayers and delivered me from all my difficulties. And so King David write and testify in verse 6 that says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Do you know that the angels are with God's children every single day? You see, not only we have angels encamping around about us, we also have the presence of Jesus Christ within our hearts, in the form of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? For that reason, God's children must pay attention what is within our heart and our mind. Do you know that the body of God's children are the temple of God, just like the Apostle Paul mentioned? That we are bought with the precious blood of Jesus, you see. We are bought with the life of Christ. And also, the Lord God sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts the very moment we become God's children and accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and acknowledge his death on the cross as a full payment of our sin and as well as when we repent and confess all our sins, the precious blood of Jesus are able to wash each and every one of our sins out of the door of our heart and cleanse our heart, sanctifies it, and make our heart absolutely pure and holy. Are you aware of that? And verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no one to them that fear him. You see, my dearly beloved, King David had experience and writes in verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Indeed, our Heavenly Father is more than good. He is wonderful, I call him, simply because it is a blessing, just like David writes, for the man that trusts in God. You see, when we trust in our Heavenly Father, He is our daddy. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, you being evil parent, know how to give the very best to your own children, let alone our Heavenly Father who is perfect, isn't it? Our Heavenly Father can only give us the very best. And the Apostle Paul writes, you see, He had given us His only Son, His precious Son, to die on our behalf. What else can He withhold? Anything that is material in the sight of God is without value. And so if you're seeking for material things, keep in mind that God had given you His only Son, His precious Son, to die on your behalf. What is it that if it is good that God would withhold in your life? Not at all. The word of the Lord God tells us that our goodness comes from the Lord God. All of our blessings comes from the Lord God. Without the Lord God, there is no blessing, my dearly beloved. If you go outside of the binding of Christ Jesus, all you got is the power of darkness. The lion is ready to pounce on you and mold you and devour you. So we've got to abide in Christ Jesus. We've got to realize that blessings can only come as we abide in Christ Jesus. And the Word of God tells us that when we abide in Him, the Holy Spirit is in control, you see. And so the Lord God tells us, if you love me, keep my commandment. And if we keep His commandment, we are dwelling in Christ Jesus. We are dwelling in God. We are abiding in Him and, of course, God in our heart. That's what the Apostle John writes in the book of John. For that reason, we've got to quickly abide in Him and abide in His love in order to experience the blessing, just like King David writes, blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Indeed, it is a big blessing for one to absolutely rest and trust in Him. You see, when you trust in the Lord God, you don't worry. And if you worry, that means you don't trust. Simply because worry is sin. Worry means no faith. And the Apostle Paul tells us, anything that is not of faith is sin. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh must believe that he is a rewarder unto those who diligently seek Him. It is very important, my dearly beloved, to come before the Lord by faith. You see, one morning I was asleep, and the Holy Spirit would woke me up with the voice of the Lord God through the Word of God that says, He is a rewarder unto him that diligently seek Him. And when I heard that voice, I thought to myself years ago, when I had that voice in my ear, while I was asleep, you see, when He woke me up with that sound, I thought to myself, that sounds very familiar. What is it? That got to be that chapter of faith, I was thinking to myself. And indeed, true enough, that was exactly where it was located. And so today we've got to come before the Lord God by faith and trusting in Him, not in our own intelligence, nor in our own strength. You see, the Word of God tells us in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Now let me ask you a question. Right now and today, who are you trusting? Are you trusting in the Lord God just on Sunday only? How about every day? You see, well, perhaps you say, well, I do trust God. I go to church and read my Bible. Now, my dearly beloved, be very honest with me. Deep down in your heart, who do you trust? Do you trust in your own intelligence? Perhaps you're not aware of it. Let's test it. Every time you run into a problem, what is the first thing you do? The first thing do you do is look at the yellow pages or the phone book or your own intelligence and figure out how to handle scenarios and problems? Or do you go to your knees and say, oh Lord, what is it that you want me to learn this time? What is the pruning knife in my life? You see, my dearly beloved, in God's children's life, every single thing cometh from our Heavenly Father, you see. For that reason, the word of the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8:28, and he said, all things will always work out for the good to them that love God. Romans 8:28. My dearly beloved, it is very important to mark this promise that the Apostle Paul says. For that reason, just like King David writes, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no one to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You see, my dearly beloved, King David had experienced that every single thing ultimately works out for our good to his glory. Just like the Apostle Paul mentioned in Romans 8:28, that all things will always work out for the good to those that love God. Just like King David experiences, the Apostle Paul experienced the same thing. And I can guarantee you, if I also experience the same thing, you will experience the same thing. Just like King David writes in here, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Hallelujah. Praise be the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. Praise be the name of our Lord God. For indeed, he is the God that gives his children the very best, isn't it? Verse 11. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. My dearly beloved, King David realized, in order to receive the blessings which include many days, means long life, and also goodness, then we ought to fear the Lord and keep our tongue from committing sins. My dearly beloved, are you negative in your words towards others? As born-again children of God, we've got to observe what our tongue speaks. The word of the Apostle Paul tells us, let our words be grace to the hearers and seasoned with salt. Don't use your word as a sword towards others. Don't use your word to hurt somebody else. That is a sin. Use your word to glorify and uplift somebody with the word of positivity and encouragements from the word of God. My dearly beloved, it is very important that our tongue must practice positivity, words of God, and praises and thanksgiving and encouragements to others by faith, that you would be a salt and a light in this world. That is why the Lord God puts us on this earth, isn't it? Do not ever allow your tongue speak any words of foul words, any words like the unbelievers, full of negativity, full of unbelief and doubt. Those things must be totally deleted from our tongue. Let our minds be pure. Let our minds be filled with the word of God and not be used for nothing that is useless, nothing that defileth, you see. Of course, we've got to use them many times if you're in the world doing the worldly things. We understand that. But apart from that, off from your working schedule, where you would not be required to do any of the worldly things, put the word of God in your mind, whether it is in the morning and in the noon, in the evening. Take time off, even if it's just a few minutes in the afternoon from your work, to put the word of God in your mind and in your heart. And you'd be very surprised what it can do for you. You'd be very surprised as you allow the Holy Spirit to be uplifted by putting the Word of God in your heart, simply because the Holy Spirit worked hand in hand with the Word of God. And in order to allow the life of Christ within you to breathe in and breathe out and to be able to grow in the Spirit, you've got to feed it. You see, the life of Christ is like planting a little seed. If you don't water it and you don't fertilize it, that seed cannot bloom. And it will continue to bloom if you keep on putting water and fertilizer, isn't it? And if you don't feed it, you don't put water on it, it's going to die. And the Word of God is like water to the life of Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to grow, and we've got to feed the truth in our spiritual life through the words of God. And if you put only the world in your system, you've just fallen into the trap of Satan. And the Apostle John tells us, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It is very important for God's children to be aware of the power of darkness and his trap, simply because the power of darkness would use the world, the lust of our eyes, the lust of our flesh, and the pride of life to attack us and use that as a bait. The moment we bite it, we falter into it. And obviously, when we falter into it, we falter in sin and darkness. And as a result, the love of Christ within our heart will begin to sizzle down. And if you don't believe me, you will experience that sooner or later. That's why we struggle and we battle through the Word of God, by faith, and remembering his words, and practice godliness by coming before the throne of grace every single day. And of course, just like Prophet Daniel, let us practice 3 times a day coming before the throne of grace, even if you take off in an afternoon, just have a brief prayer. And if there's no place where you can go to the restroom and pray, isn't it? And of course, you can also step out in the garden out there in a quiet place to pray and remember his words. So Proverbs 22 verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So my dearly beloved, keep in mind, if you are humble before the Lord God and walk in absolute reverence of him, you are guaranteed to experience riches, honor and life. And personally myself, that is what I have experienced in my life, that God have blessed me materially and I never lack. Of course, we don't have to be zillionaires out there, isn't it? But God have given us much more than our needs. And apart from that, honor and wisdom also cometh from the Lord God and long life. And verse 14, it writes, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The word of our Lord Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew 5 verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. As God's children, we must continue to seek and pursue peace and not fight and quarrel against somebody else, for it is sin. And let us rather give way to somebody else, and the Lord will continually provide us some of the blessings elsewhere. In the case where somebody is trying to fight a project with you, something with you, let them have it. Because you know why? Our Lord God is our provider. We don't need to fight. Rather let it go, because you'd be surprised what the Lord have prepared for those that love him, isn't it? For the word of God tells us, eyes have never seen, ears have never heard, neither enter into the heart of man what God hath prepared for those that love him, isn't it? For that reason, don't worry. Don't fight with those people who try to do evil against you or try to grab something from you. Let it go. Because the Lord God simply bless his children whenever we walk in absolute obedience. You don't even have to worry about it. You see, our Lord Jesus tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. So if you're currently facing a problem where somebody is trying to fight with you and grab something from you unreasonably, let them have it. My dearly beloved, don't worry about it. You know, our Heavenly Father knows exactly what happened to His children. And there are times that, just like Isaac experienced, where others are grabbing his well, let them have it. That's okay. Because ultimately, the Lord God will always bless us much more when we walk in absolute obedience to the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto the cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Now, the Apostle James writes, the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Just like King David experienced, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. You see, my dearly beloved, if your prayers have not been answered, it is simply because you've got sins in your heart that need to be confessed. Or perhaps the Lord God wants to have you wait to get the answer. But other than waiting to receive that answer, the other things that block your prayers from being answered could very likely be your sins. Many times, God's children's prayers have not been answered simply because they are living in a lifestyle of sin, and they need to repent of those sins before the Lord can hear our prayers. You see, the Word of God tells us that when we abide in Christ Jesus by remembering His words, by walking and acting out according to His commandments, automatically, whatever we ask in tribulations, the Lord God will always open a door and hear our prayers. It is very important, just like the Apostle James writes, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So in order for the Lord God to hear your prayer, you've got to be righteous. And righteousness is not because you're good or trying to do good, but rather confessions and repentance of your sins, and begin living out your life according to God's word. Begin reading the scripture. Begin walking according to the word of God and uplifting the Holy Spirit by abiding in Him. When we abide in Christ Jesus, automatically all prayers would be answered. And of course, the prayers must be according to the criteria of the Word of God. You see, there are four criteria that you must pay attention to. Number one, the Apostle Paul tells us you could ask anything and do anything as long as it glorifies God. Number two, you can ask anything and do anything as long as it edifies you spiritually and, of course, physically and mentally. And of course, you can ask anything and do anything as long as it benefits your neighbor or others. And you can do anything and ask anything as long as you are not controlled by it. So you cannot ask things like lottery, my dearly beloved, simply because that is outside of the criteria of what glorifies a Heavenly Father. And of course, that is what we call sin, simply because it is covetousness, isn't it? Things like that are not permitted to even petition before the throne of grace, and that is what we call common wisdom. But many times, if you do not read the scripture, you are not aware of it. But other than that, you can petition anything and everything under the four criteria of the law of grace mentioned by the Apostle Paul. Just like the verse 16 writes, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. You see, my dearly beloved, if you have not known Jesus Christ, may I encourage you to come before the Lord God and confess and repent of your sins first before you can be connected with our Heavenly Father. Perhaps you say, well, I've been in churches for so many years. Well, that's not the issue. You're just practicing a religion. And until unless you have received the Holy Spirit, which means it is required for you to confess and repent of your sins and wash them by the precious blood of Jesus, you are not connected to the Holy Spirit. Just like a phone set has got to have a cable and has got to have a company, like AT&T or Sprint, right? The company to be able to call out to somebody else. You could be in churches for years and you could be practicing a religion instead of being born again of the Spirit of God. It is very important for us to have the phone cable as well as the company that linked that phone. And the Holy Spirit is the phone cable. Until unless you have received the Holy Spirit by repenting and confessing of your sins and washed them by the precious blood of Jesus, God in heaven is not able to hear you. Well, you can insist, well, I've got a very good phone, you know, it is made of gold. It doesn't make any difference, my dearly beloved, you've got to have a cable. You can't insist, my phone is expensive, it doesn't make any difference. Just like I said, you know, without the cable, that phone, no matter how expensive it is, it would not work, isn't it? Likewise, you can be in churches for many, many years. You could be a preacher. You could be a pastor for that matter, but until and unless you're born again of the Spirit of God and got that cable, that phone set would not work. You see, that prayer cannot be answered simply because you don't have that cable. Just like a phone without a cable cannot be heard. You cannot expect a Heavenly Father to hear you like a phone cannot work without that cable, isn't it? Likewise, put on Christ, repent and confess of your sins by the precious blood of Jesus, wash them, and I guarantee you that you will experience the peace and joy of the Holy Spirit. And once you've got the Holy Spirit in your heart, you've got to maintain holiness. And if you falter in your sins, again, like I said, your prayers cannot be heard because you have sins in your heart. You see, the Word of God tells us it is not that God's ear is too thick or his hand is too short, but rather it is our sins that block us. So if you confess and repent of your sins and wash them by the precious blood of Jesus and pray patiently according to the word of God, I guarantee you, as you abide in him, your prayers will be answered accordingly. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. You see, my dearly beloved, it takes righteousness. It takes the righteous to cry, not a sinful person to cry. Just like I mentioned earlier, it takes the righteous to cry, and the Lord always hear the prayers and deliver them out of all their troubles. That's exactly what King David had experienced. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You see, when we come and confess our sins and be broken within our heart because of the sins that we have committed, and we look up unto the cross, and as we weep because the Holy Spirit unveiled to us and convict our hearts of sins, believe it or not, my dearly beloved, the Lord God is not far away from you, but rather he is nigh, just like King David writes here, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You see, once we are born again of the Spirit of God, and in that process of time when we are being broken, when we confess our sins and repent in tears, my dearly beloved, the Lord rejoices. And of course, in heaven, all the angels also rejoices, simply because right now, we become very close to our Heavenly Father, and we allow the Holy Spirit to come to indwell in our heart, and now we become his children. And verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Now, my dearly beloved, it is very precious that what King David had written in verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Now, my dearly beloved, I just want to say this to you. Being God's children is not to avoid difficulties. On the contrary, difficulties are sent into God's children's life in order to mold us in his image. You see, difficulties are sent and permitted by our Heavenly Father in order to bloom us, looking like his son. For that reason, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 5, verse 3 to 5, And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You see, the Apostle Paul tells us tribulation is going to result in patience, and patience is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is essential in order to bear the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us that the 4th ground through the parable of the sower requires patience in order to bloom and bear fruit steadfastly. Patience is an essential ingredient to fruit blooming, and that's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fundamental fruit of the Holy Spirit that is required to bear the rest of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Without patience, you're not going to be able to bear the rest of it. There is no love without patience. You see, love requires patience. And so, without patience, you don't have charity. You don't have love. And of course, love also includes the rest of it. So they're all interlinked together. Let me give you an illustration. In order to make a cake, you're going to have flour, isn't it? And of course, we're going to have oil and fire and so on, right? So patience is like the flour. If you don't have a flour, where are you going to get the cake? You see, you can't insist, well, I'm not going to have patience. Well, if you don't have patience, you're not going to have charity towards others. So the first fundamental thing is patience. So tribulation, the Apostle Paul tells us, worketh patience. And then from patience, experience. And from experience, hope. It just climbs on one fruit upon the other fruit, you see. It's a fruit-bearing process. For that reason, many times, God would send into God's children's life lots of difficulties. I personally have gone through many, many difficulties. However, every single difficulty will only produce not only patience, also faith, and testimonies, and answers to prayer, and so on. So, it is very important for us to bloom, and that's exactly what our Lord God would do in the life of His children. Just like John 15 writes, Jesus said, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. See, what God is interested in is fruit bearing out of each and every one of God's children so that we can mature and grow in Christ Jesus and someday be God's people, the saints, looking like Jesus. That is what God is more interested in rather than the temporal. And many times God's children misunderstand God simply because they think that the material blessing is everything. On the contrary, my dearly beloved, the material blessings many times is not a good thing if it's excessively sought after. If you begin to put your heart onto their blessings, then it would be a disaster. And on the contrary, afflictions many times is not a bad thing. Rather, many times it is also essential for us to experience the spiritual blessings whenever we falter in our faith, isn't it? Now, I want to share with you quite a few testimonies right here. One of the testimonies I would like to share with you, there was a case of a lady who used to be a Christian, and the power of darkness began to lure her away from her parents and got into a relationship with a boyfriend. So she began to walk in the wall and, of course, began to sizzle down from the Lord God. And her love for Jesus has gone down completely depleted. And she went every day to go out there, have lots of fun, and go to the dancing places with the boyfriend. And her parents began to get very worried about her and began to pray for her, for she has left the Lord and gone into the world completely. And 3 years down the road, the parents continued to pray for her And so finally she got married to this man and had a baby. But before long, she discovered that the man that she loved has gone astray emotionally from her and had relationship outside of the marriage. And so all of a sudden, afflictions comes into her life. And she was extremely depressed and grieved over this issue, to the point that she wanted to end her life and committed suicide. However, the only thing that withhold her was a little baby. And so she was suffering for quite a few years with this problem and with this afflictions of a husband having the extramarital affairs outside of their marriage, of course. So this tribulation and affliction comes to her, but one day she met an old friend. And it was sent by the Lord God across her way. And the friend began to converse with her. And the friend asked her, "How are you?" And the friend said, "You know, ever since you gave me Jesus Christ and led me to become a Christian and born again of the Spirit of God, my life was totally changed and transformed. And right now, I am so filled with joy and even have Bible study in my office with others." My dearly beloved, the word of the Lord God through the lips of this sister caused her to be awakened and act as a jolt all of a sudden to her conscience, and her heart was pricked, you see. And so she realized that she has gone away from the Lord God and felt very ashamed simply because the friend that was not a believer before now became a born-again Christian and loved Jesus. And she, on the other hand, that shared the gospel with her, had left the Lord God. You see, my dearly beloved, many times the Apostle Paul tells us that I must put my body under subjection, lest I preach to others, I would be a castaway. So this lady almost become a castaway had it not been for the love of Jesus that comes again to remind her. She would have probably have gone and killed herself without Christ, isn't it? And that is absolute treasury. However, the Lord God who loved her sent this old friend to come across her way and remind her of the love of Jesus. So the lady went home and confessed her sins and repent of all her sins. And right now, she is in the right relationship with the Lord God. Isn't that amazing? And isn't that wonderful that the Lord God many times sends afflictions into our life in order to jolt us, in order to bring us back into His arms, isn't it? Now, the second testimony that I would like to share with you is the story of the rich man. I've shared this before in the other preaching session. However, I shall repeat this testimony before you. There was this rich man who was very, very rich in the days of the famous preacher, Dr. Johnson, in China. And this man had about $500,000 in 1935 at that point of time. That's a huge sum of money, isn't it? Especially in China. So he was so rich that he had many concubines, of course, wives, children, and everything. And one day, a Christian friend came to visit him and gave him the Word of God and the Bible. And he threw away the Bible. He said, "I don't need that simply because I'm rich. I have everything. What for? What are those things for? That is not useful for me." However, the Lord God, out of His love, and this particular friend continued to pray for him. One day, this man even became richer. Instead of $500,000, he got involved in stocks and bonds, even got more riches, and his riches gone to $600,000. But the time comes when affliction must be sent into his life, and all of a sudden, the bank where he invested and deposited his money went totally bankrupt. So he went back into absolute poverty, and all his concubines left him. Of course, all his wives gone, simply because no money, no wives, and no friends. And as a result, he came back to work as a clerk, a very poor clerk in an office. And one day, the same friend came back with the Bible and plead with him to believe in Jesus. At this point of time, my dearly beloved, all of this former rich man's friends are gone, except for this faithful Christian brother, this friend that continued to share the gospel with him. And this time, believe it or not, the Lord, who is amazing and merciful upon this man, got him on his knees and he repented and accepted Jesus Christ as his personal savior. So this man became a born-again Christian, and one day he met Dr. Johnson, the most powerful evangelist in China, and told Dr. Johnson, he said, "Dr. Johnson, the Lord God indeed had loved me so much and took away everything from me, and now I've received Jesus Christ, and I am so joyful and blessed to receive eternal life rather than going to hell with all of that money." So, my dearly beloved, afflictions is good for us, isn't it? And it is essential that for God's children that we must experience affliction in order for the Lord God to bring us back into his arm and into his fold as his sheep, isn't it? Now, my dearly beloved, I would like to share with you one last testimony, personally myself. I've gone through many, many difficulties, and these difficulties are essential for me to grow spiritually and to share with you my testimonies. You see, the Lord God does not send difficulties into God's children for no reason. You see, he wants us to begin knowing our Heavenly Father and share our testimonies to as many as God's children as possible, and of course unbelievers, in order to bring them into knowing that our Heavenly Father is very much alive today. I've shared in the other preaching session the other day how our Lord God, who is always faithful with me, brought me over many, many difficulties. I shall share and repeat one of my precious testimony to you, simply because this testimony is so powerful in my life, and of course you will benefit spiritually to know that the God that I serve is the very same God that King David served, and is also the very same God that the Apostle Paul had served. And the Apostle Paul, who is so lovely and precious and had given us the gospel to the Gentiles, that we could hear the word of God, and of course likewise to the Jews, the Apostle Peter had given and shared the same gospel to them. The very same God that we worship had given us not just the Bible, but today, in the year of 2016, in the 21st century, is continued to be the very same living God that serves and looks after each and every one of God's children, isn't it? Now I shall share with you my own personal testimony. I was about to graduate in the University of San Francisco, somewhat more than 30 years ago when I was in school. And at that point of time, I had no money left except for $1,500 in my pocket. And my parents had warned me that if you are a Christian, then you do not depend on us financially and depend on your God, simply because they were Buddhist. And my father, of course, was an atheist. He doesn't believe in anything other than money, simply because the world runs on money, which is very true, isn't it? However, ever since they have disapproved of my faith in Christ Jesus and persecuted me, especially my mother, who was a staunch Buddhist, I have decided to strictly depend on the Lord for all my financial needs. So at this point of time, I just got married, and I only had $1,500 in my pocket. And my school requires $3,000 for the school fees alone. And my car had an engine problem and is an old car. And I require a brand new car in order to do my sales, because I was a salesperson in the bridal field, simply because my parents were in the same field. And so I had to pray to the Lord God out of desperation. And at that point of time, with $1,500, I could not last too long, as my apartment alone requires about $500 over, not including food, and other expenses such as books and so on. So keep in mind, if you use your common sense, $1,500, you can't pay your school fees. And if you pay in your apartment alone, it would not last too long, isn't it? And to get a new car, you can't even afford one. So I call my husband, who is also in school. I ask my husband to see whether I could get a loan from the bank to get a brand new car in order to make my sales and, of course, provide my school fees and my living. To this, my husband said, we are but students and we don't have proper credit, and obviously the bank is not going to loan you. Well, that is what we call common sense, isn't it? And true enough, of course, if you don't have a proper credit, who is going to loan you? So here I was, stuck in a scenario with no money or not enough money to finish school and no money to even buy a brand new car. Not enough money, of course. So all of this pressure began to push me before the throne of grace. And I remember vividly, out of desperation, because I cannot turn to my parents either for help, I began to cry before the throne of grace in desperation before our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I cried with all my heart, just like King David writes right here, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. That's exactly what happened to me. So I cried with all my heart to the Lord God. I said, oh Lord, have mercy upon me. I need money. It is not out of covetousness. It is not out of greed that I need money, but I have to have it in order to finish my school and get a new car. So I pour out all my heart before the Lord God out of desperation. My dearly beloved, this is a real story, my own personal story. And believe it or not, as I flip open the Word of God, it opened right on Matthew chapter 6. And the Word of God in Matthew chapter 6, it's like as if Jesus Christ was walking out from that Bible, talking to me face to face. And he said, don't you ever worry what to eat, what to wear. All of these things the Gentiles are looking for. That's not for you to worry. Look at the fowls in the air. Look at the grasses. Who feeds them? Who look after them? Ye of little faith? You know, it was as if Jesus Christ was walking out from the Bible, talking to me face to face. That's how I felt years ago. And he said, all of your needs, your heavenly Father knows them. He knows your needs. But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. My dearly beloved, my heart was as if put to shame. Indeed, I was ashamed and said, Lord, I confess my sin before him and said, Lord, I am so sorry, Lord. I have little faith. Please forgive my sins. I said, wash me by the blood of Jesus. So I repented and confessed my sins, and all of a sudden my heart was filled with joy and peace. Nothing had changed. The cars are still out there with an engine sign, which means problem. And my money in the pocket is still $1,500, but somehow deep in my spirit, I knew that my Heavenly Father had taken the steps to solve my problem. I knew that Jesus already prepared a solution for me, but how he was going to prepare, I don't know at that point of time. But I had decided to trust in the Lord, just like King David writes in here, and rest upon him. So my heart was filled with joy and peace, and I wiped away all of my tears, trusting that the Lord God will always provide my need. And so miraculously, I took the bus to school, and it was the last marketing class. And I remember as I entered the class, I was probably the last one late coming through that class. And the professor said, hey, folks, you can eat your cookies and drink your tea and chit-chat, for this is the last sessions. And so as I took my seat, all of a sudden, a voice in my ear, the voice of the Holy Spirit, spoke to my ear and said, look at that friend the Caucasian friend of yours by the name of Ken in that corner talking to another Chinese boy. And my eyes was open. And Ken was talking to another friend of ours from Singapore. And the Holy Spirit said, talk to him. Isn't his father the biggest car dealer in the city of Burlingame, which is close to San Francisco? And I thought to myself, you're right. I said, why have I not think about it? So I heard that voice and then took the instructions from the Holy Spirit and got myself to talk to Ken. And I said, hey, Ken, you know, I need help. I need a car, but I have no money. And so Ken says, what does your husband do for a living? Well, you know what? We are both students and we've got no work. In other words, I'm trying to tell him that we've got no credit. So he said, okay, just come and see me tomorrow. So I went to see him the next day and he told his representative from Hong Kong and said, take care of my friend and give her whatever she wants. My dearly beloved, I never knew how easy it was. And I picked up brand new car with the special editions of tire that my husband loved. You know, he said he liked that kind of tire. I don't care about tires, but he said he loved that edition of tires. Anyhow, we took the brand new car and signed on the piece of paper. That's all it takes. And left with the brand new car. My dearly beloved, our Heavenly Father is so sweet. Now, this is my personal testimony, and I want you to remember that the God that we worship is the God of Jehovah Jireh. He will always provide our need. My dearly beloved, keep that in mind. Just like King David writes, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And incidentally, as I drove that car to do all my sales, there are many, many testimonies on that journey. And I want to share one precious testimony to you right now as I drove into a city of Porterville, which is approximately about 6 hours from where I live in San Francisco then. I came through to that store 7 o'clock in the evening when the store just barely closed. And that day, I remember vividly, I had not done any sale whatsoever and had driven quite a few hours, and I began to pray to the Lord God simply because when I arrived on that store, the store just barely closed and the sign is closed. It was exactly 7. But Rita, the owner, is still in that store. And so I began to petition before the throne of grace and prayed instantly to our Heavenly Father. And I said, Heavenly Father, please have mercy upon me. I have not done any sale. Would you touch her heart to buy something from me? My dearly beloved, that's exactly how our Lord God would like his children to anchor upon him in every single trial. So as I sent forward my prayer into heaven through the throne of grace and made that prayer, the Lord God touched my heart to use my finger across the door, the glass door, to invite Rita, the owner, to come forward. So I used my hand to wave on her to tell her to come forward. And she used her fingers in return to tell me that the store is closed. And then in return, I used 2 fingers to tell her, said, come forward for just 2 minutes. So she finally did come to the door and opened that door and said, you know, she said, we are closed. And then I replied to her. I said, you know, madam, I come from a very far away place. You don't have to buy anything. But if you would please give me a chance to show you what I have. Believe it or not, my dearly beloved, the Lord God, who is in control of every single heart of man, is in charge. And true enough, she opened the door. She bought everything she could. She gave me all of her cash for that day. On the top of that, she told me to return tomorrow morning to give the balance of the cash simply because she did not have enough to pay for everything. My dearly beloved, the Lord God that we worship is absolutely true and living, and I was very much blessed by the Lord. Just like King David writes right here, Blessed is the man that trusts in him, isn't it? And so all the way through that journey, the Lord God was with me. And at one time, in Los Angeles, as I drove through that city, I went to offer $40 to the servant of a living God, my precious spiritual teacher, Miss Esther Wong. Now, Miss Esther Wong was 50 years older than me, and she was still living in Los Angeles at that point of time, of course. And Miss Esther Wong decided to give me a box of cookie, which I refused at that point of time, but she insisted. So I took that cookie, and then later on I discovered that it was through that cookie that the Lord provided me another Jehovah Jireh in terms of afflictions and difficulties. As I drove down to Los Angeles and about to return to San Francisco, on the way through, I passed through the city of Santa Barbara. And as I was driving through that city, going into the city of Lompoc, which is a very small town, I began to feel very sick, my dearly beloved. I was on the road being a salesperson from store to store, driving that car for 3,000 miles alone. A young girl, I was in my 20s. But the Lord God was with me, just like the Lord God was with King David. So that morning, I was feeling very sick. But prior to leaving to the town of Lompoc, I had my quiet times, and the word of God came to me that says, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. That was found in Psalm 46. So the Holy Spirit used that word to remind me to depend on him again, simply because as I was driving on that road to that town to visit a store, I began to feel very sick, and I stopped my car to throw up all my food in Burger King's bag, and I ate that food in that morning, the leftover food from the day before, and I began to throw up into the Burger King bag. Then as I drive again, I became more sick and threw up everything on my car. Believe it or not, my dearly beloved, I had no more strength left. I remember vividly, neither do I know where I was, simply because that was my very first time driving in that area. Finally, I had to pray to the Lord God and remembered the verse that was given that morning. And so I took to the closest motel and fell asleep instantly until the winter cold winds blew through the window, which I had forgotten to close, and awoke me. And when I woke up, I was absolutely weak and very ill, and I had nowhere to turn to, simply because I don't know where I was, and I could not inform my husband, who is going to be more worried than anything else. And at that point of time, the word of God came to me, just like I read earlier. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And at that point of time, I knelt on my knees crying to God to forgive my sins. As the day before, I was watching TV instead of sleeping early and, of course, resting well. So I did confess my sins of the lust of my eyes. And as I confessed and washed them by the precious blood of Jesus, the voice of the Lord came to me and said, remember the cookie that Miss Esther Wong gave you? Take that cookie and dip it in the hot water in the tap. And so I went to the car, took that cookie and did just like the Holy Spirit had said. And all of a sudden, I regained my strength and I was able to drive home. And thereafter, the next store that I visited invited me to give me some cakes and so on, which I refused and said, thank you very much. And I've got to be super cautious. Nonetheless, the Lord was with me in every single trip in the stores. God had given me blessings of sales and more financial blessings along the way, to the point that by the time I arrived in San Francisco, I had gathered $10,000, much more than plenty to pay all of my school fees and all of the things, the financial needs that is supposed to be given for all expenses. For that reason, our Lord God knows our needs, and of course, apart from them, He had also blessed me with more orders, and so on. However, as I graduated with what the Lord had given me, the $10,000, and rejoices in my heart for all of His provisions, I want to share with you one sad story, my dearly beloved. God had used my mouth to speak to someone whom He equally loved. I had a friend who was a young man, 2 years younger than me, and also in the same school, University of San Francisco, and his name was Peng. He was a young man, just like I was young, and he was under a lot of stress, financial stress, simply because his father went bankrupt and got divorced with his mother, and he was originally from Malaysia. And his father lived in Malaysia with three other siblings, while his mother lived in here and with a boyfriend in New York, leaving him with a little sister to look after. So you can imagine, Peng was under a lot of stress and he had no money, so he worked on the side as a driver for a fish company. And for some reason, we crossed line as I had started a Bible study in the University of San Francisco among the Asian community, and Peng was invited to join and participate in our Bible study. That's how I got to know him. And on the way, when we were about to graduate, approximately about a month prior to graduations, the Lord God had orchestrated in such a way that I crossed line with him for the last time. And little did I know that was for the last time. And so as I met Peng, I began to talk to him about our Lord God and testify to him how the Lord provided my needs, as he was under a lot of financial stress. And so I told him, hey, Peng, you need to trust in Jesus. You need to, you know, ask Jesus for help. So I began to expound the truth to him and share with him and testify to him. Nonetheless, Peng's reply was simply clear, cold and clear, that he refused Jesus. And he said, oh, if only I could get $1 million, that would solve all my problem. My dearly beloved, I can tell you one thing. Just like I told Peng, Peng, $1 million can solve some problem, but not every problem. My dearly beloved, keep in mind, money is not everything, but Jesus is everything. So Peng refused to accept our Lord Jesus Christ and refused to trust in the Lord. But as I pushed and pushed, he still rejected the Lord God. So finally we parted after talking approximately about 2 hours. So he went to his class and I went to my class. By the time we both graduated, I went back to my country, Indonesia, to visit my parents. And on the way back, my husband picked me up from San Francisco airport and told me what exactly happened to Peng. Peng died, my husband said. I was so shocked. And I asked my husband what exactly had happened to Peng, for he was but a young man and healthy physically. And so my husband began to tell me the very sad story. He said when Peng graduated, he was so depressed. You see, my dearly beloved, when you reject Jesus Christ, the devil took over your body. Only the Lord God knows how much time and what Satan was about to do in his life. At that point of time, Peng decided to have a graduation luncheon. He had graduated finally from the University of San Francisco, just like myself. And so he invited all of his best friends to meet for that luncheon, the graduation luncheon, in the restaurant. And at the end of that luncheon, when everyone else is enjoying and having a good time and feeling very joyful simply because it's a party, isn't it? A graduation party. However, right in front of everyone, while they are still having their lunch, Peng took a gun when the party was about to be over He took a gun and put that gun underneath his chin and shot himself in front of every one of his friends and died instantly. Now, my dearly beloved, this is a real testimony and a real story that I want you to remember. God loves pain just as much as he loves you and me, and gave him the chance to repent through my lips. Little did I know that the Lord God had used my lips to give pain the last chance to accept Jesus Christ. My dearly beloved, I would like to invite you, if you have yet to believe in Jesus when you hear this story of mine, to please turn around and repent and accept Jesus quickly. But Ping had chosen the path of Judas and committed suicide in front of everyone, even though he was given the last chance of salvation and God's grace on the last minute. Yet he chose to reject the voice of the Lord, the love of God, and chose the path of darkness. And of course, it is very sad that he ended up in hell today. Now, my dearly beloved, may I ask you to quickly turn around right now and repent and accept the salvations of God while there is time. Otherwise, you will face the lake of fire for eternity, forever and ever and ever, like pain. And by the time you reach the lake of fire, there is no way out of it, simply because the grace of God will be over and the judgment on the wrath of God will come to the power of darkness and everyone that chose to walk after the power of darkness. That is not meant for God's children, but if you choose to walk with Satan, that's where you will end up. Now, my dearly beloved, it is now time to part once again. May the word of God richly bless you, and may you remember to walk together just like King David with our Lord God and praise him continually with our mouth and giving thanks unto our Heavenly Father at all times. May the Lord richly bless you to remember through his word that says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name, I ask and pray for. Amen.